Hey, Through the Word listeners, welcome back to Through the Word. Psalm 140 today, for the director of music, a psalm of David. Let's remember who David was for a minute. David was a warrior, one who, like all warriors, did not like war. Skilled on the battlefield, David would have far rather spent time in the open fields, as he did when he was young, singing to God, finding peace in the tranquility and nature after the trauma of war. But the wilderness isn't always peaceful. There are predators there, dangers, hunters lying in wait. Picture, you're an animal in the wilderness. You're just doing your thing, but without knowing, you're prey. Behind a blind or hidden in a bush lurks a dangerous enemy, waiting for you to step into the clearing. That fatal step that could cost you your life. An arrow can come at any time, from any direction, and it's impossible, as the prey, to evade every potential threat, or even to know that they're there at all. Sometimes in life, you're the hunter, and sometimes you're the hunted. David found himself here in this psalm, caught out in the open, exposed and vulnerable to people who were hunting for his very life. Verse 1. Rescue me, Lord, from evildoers. Protect me from the violent, who devise evil plans in their heart and stir up war every day. David was a man of war, and someone was trying to destroy his peace. David here is fighting weak men, weaker than himself, cowardly men. They devise evil plans in their hearts, but they hide their true intentions. As a man of battle, David would fight him if he had to, but he doesn't want to. Besides, they won't even face him. They're two-faced. They're hiding their intent, trying to trap him through deceit. That's why David likens them to serpents in verse 3. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. To the Hebrew, the serpent represented the lying snake that promises you life, seeming to smile, but intends death. Two-faced gossips. A serpent's tongue seeks out its prey, flicking this way and that, sensing the prey in the air. And it was their tongues that they were using as their chief weapons, going behind his back, turning people against him. It's so unfair when people gossip about you. You can't hit back because you don't know who to hit out at. What do you do when they're out to get you? David prays. If their chief weapon is gossip, David's is prayer. Verse 4, keep me safe, Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the violent who devise ways to trip my feet. David can't stop them, but God can. David can't see the tripwires that they're laying. They devise ways to trip up my feet. All he's doing is moving forward, like that deer in the woods, that animal in the wilderness. But even that seems dangerous. We've all been in that situation. We're just putting one foot in front of the other. Just going into work feels dangerous. You know that everything you say can and will be used against you. Apparently, there was a judge, jury, and executioner at a trial you weren't invited to, and they threw the book at you, and you don't know what you did. Verse 5, the arrogant have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords in their net and have set traps for me along my path. A tripwire for my feet, a snare for my neck, a net for my body, and traps for my limbs along the path I normally walk. Like that animal, just walking forward is dangerous. So David stops in his tracks in verse 6 and prays again. I say to the Lord, you're my God. Hear, Lord, my cry for mercy. Talk about tactics. David's best battle tactic is to stop and turn to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation and you suddenly think, oh, wait, I have a God. Oh, yeah. Lord, you are my God. Hear, Lord, my cry for mercy. Mercy, that quality of the Lord that we can always count on, even when we don't deserve God to listen to us or to act on our behalf. God, I don't deserve what I'm asking for, but you're merciful. Please show me mercy. This is David's way of fighting back at his unseen enemy. Yet his most trusted instrument of war is his shield of faith in verse 7. Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, you shield my head in the day of battle. The arrows are coming in, flying in from all directions. They're ambushing him from behind their hiding places with their words. There's no way David can stop all the arrows. He's not Superman, who can catch bullets in his hand. But he knows what God can do. You shield my head in the day of battle. David has experienced God stopping certain death on the battlefield before. I can't stop the arrows, God, but you can. That's why he calls him the sovereign Lord here. God has control over every arrow's flight, so that there's never such a thing as a random arrow. God's tougher than Chuck Norris. Nothing will happen to David unless God says it can. And verse 8 is the heart of the psalm, the crux of what David is really asking. Do not grant the wicked their desires, Lord. Do not let their plans succeed. That word after verse 8, Selah, means to meditate on what was just said. Scholars don't know exactly what the word means, but there's probably a musical interlude here. And as the instruments play on, these words echo in your head. Do not grant the wicked their desires, Lord. Do not let their plan succeed. This is the remedy against David's anxiety of the unknown, that God knows all and will keep him safe. Verse 9, those who surround me proudly rear their heads. May the mischief of their lips engulf them. May the burning coals fall on them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. David is being specific here. These are all battle terms. Burning coals and miry pits are tactics for open warfare. That's what David knew. That's what he was good at. You'd launch burning coals on the enemy, raining down scorching fire upon him. And miry pits would be dug around the battlefield so that you could just push the enemy into them. David knows this kind of warfare extremely well. If he could see his enemy, he'd use these tactics. But again, these slanders remain hidden in verse 11. May slanders not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down the violent. Slanderers, those who hunted him. And here David prays, may the hunters become the hunted. But why would God do this? Why would God hunt down David's enemies? Verse 12, I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live in your presence. David's fear here is strong, but his faith is stronger. Surely righteousness will win out. God will do what's right, even when they're doing what's wrong. God acts on the cause of him who is faithful, David says, and the upright will live in your presence. David's banking everything on God being exactly who he says he is. This is why he says all the righteous will praise your name. It's why you and I will. Like David, we know that we'll make it through those times where people are out to get us. David's been here before in battles that he knew he couldn't win. And so have you, and so have I. So when you have to fight an enemy you can't see, remember, the best way to fight back is to go to the God that you also can't see in faith and trust that he has your back. Take up your shield of faith and keep walking forward, because after all, what else can you do but walk forward? But if you walk the walk of faith, the upright will live in God's presence.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.